Wednesday morning. It's been absolutely ages since I've talked to the all-knowing visa geezer Steve Barnes, but I've managed to get him back on the programme, albeit on the line, because he's a busy man. Welcome back, Steve.
Well, Phil, you know, I've been waiting by the door for the last 18 months for the telegram to arrive, inviting me up to Kowloon Town.
Blame me. It's good to talk to you, Steve. I was looking back. I think it's probably a couple of years since we did this, but I think now we're going to be doing more because we need you. What's changed? Let's do the newsletter.
Well, you know, we've had an interesting year, have we not? I think the two things to sort of, the two comments to make is that... A few months ago, the Immigration Department started to take an extra long period of time to process extension of stay applications and new entry visa applications for, let's say, individuals of a certain profile, certain foreign nationals that might have, let's say, a certain sympathy with a certain cause.
Or they're assumed to have. Let's be perfectly frank here. It's since June or July, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so... there's no doubt that the Security Bureau, which is the kind of, you know, under which the Immigration Department sits, the Security Bureau have been running security checks on certain profiles of applicants to ensure that there hasn't been any support for unlawful acts, let's put it that way, which is ultimately fed into, you know, processing times. There was a point sort of middle of the year where teaching professionals, certainly unmarried teaching professionals, were not getting their visas issued in time and were having their extensions of stay take.
We're talking working visas at the moment, right, Steve?
Employment visas, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay. So also, there's advice piece number one. I mean, if people, I guess people are here already, they're going to know that this was a pain in the butt. But I think it's fair to say that these departments anywhere in the world would take a bit longer.
Absolutely, right? You know, I mean, it's Hong Kong has got the ability to police its borders, and they police their borders in the way that the Immigration Department police the borders in the way that they do, and they don't want to be you know, providing opportunities for individuals who anti-government per se but are in support of unlawful acts. There's been a lot of unlawful acts on our streets, and you know, there's been many cases I think that have been that have appeared in the press that show that there's been a certain sympathy and common cause with the movement, as it were.
Well, the average punter will have just the same chances of getting in here as they always would have done, I'm assuming, but it's just going to be go through a few more departments. How's that?
That's correct. Yeah, yeah. There's no doubt about that at all. The other thing that we've noticed is that F&B, which, as you know, has been effectively decimated, they have been subject to a lot more sort of, you know, random inspections to ensure that people who are actually found working on those premises are in possession of the correct immigration status to be able to do so. So I've had plenty of emails in and messages via my blog that, you know, speak to this reality going on. And I've had two or three of my clients come back to me and let me know that this has been going on. So it's kind of been commonly understood that...
At the moment, Steve, seeing as you've given us a bit of your valuable time, why don't you point our listeners to your blog?
Oh, hongkongvisageezer.com.
Nice and easy. I remember last time we spoke with Chef Jason Black, and you guys were bemoaning the fact that, you know, completely kosher professional chefs just couldn't come here. It was the right man for the right job, you were saying. He had devil's own job getting a visa. I'm assuming that's out the window now. It's got worse.
Well, indeed, and I can cite one particular example that was a very, very highly specialist chef.
Yeah.
Japanese chef, very, very, very specialist in nature. And we thought that, given, you know, his sort of background, his profile, and the very sophisticated nature of the employer, who wouldn't be, you know, supporting shenanigans, so to speak, they took absolutely forever for this visa to come through. I mean, I think it was like a 14 or a 15 week process, and the amount of loss that it caused my clients, because the Immigration Department were doing extensive due diligence on this particular type of profiled applicant, it was really quite significant. So yeah, it's certainly not gotten any easier, that's for sure.
I'll tell you what then, really approximately, Steve, if people are trying to apply, they should add X% of the waiting time on. Can you give me that kind of figure?
I mean, I expect it's going to take between 3 and 6 weeks longer than it normally does.
Oh, that's fair enough. I mean, if you know that and you can figure it in, I mean, this is a situation that a lot of people won't have thought twice about if they're in America or Aussie or wherever and they want to come here, correct?
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. On the flip side, though, Phil, what is interesting to note is that applications for permanent residency are going through like there's no tomorrow. I mean, I've had in the last month or so, we've had 7 or 8 PR applications, which normally take 4 to 6 weeks, sometimes 8 if there's correspondence that needs to be entered into to confirm eligibility under the ordinary residency requirements. They've been going through in sort of 10 days.
Is that because you've essentially jumped through all the hoops before you get to this stage?
They can certainly move. Yes, and I think it's because perhaps the resources, the frontline resources of the Immigration Department are not as taxed as they once were. The back-end resources, certainly, because of all the due diligence that's going on, but the front-end resources appear to have been freed up considerably, and so we're getting some efficiencies in the process.
I'll tell you what, Steve, we've got a really horrendous delay here. Do you mind if I just call you back? I'm going to pop on a couple of promos, and we'll come back in a second. Is that all right with you?
All yours.
Sit there.
This week, Will Vibes has a new selection of hot new hits from a surprise number of places on the planet. In between which, we sample tracks from our hot Latino featured EP, from Paris-based Tamayo. All that on Will Vibes with me, Pierre Tremblay, this Saturday afternoon from 1 to 3 p.m. on Radio 3. Hasta entonces!
So I don't just push the Pierre Tremblay button by accident. It's a wicked program and you must listen if you can. In the meantime, I'm back with Steve. Now, let's go on to other types of visas. Any blips, any things you've noticed, if you would?
Really? No. Clearly, the number of applicants under the admission scheme for male and talents and professionals has dropped, given the xenophobic nature of the movement seeking to disparage the credentials of our mainland cousins.
Has it dropped? It won't have dropped entirely, Steve, surely, because for some people, business is business.
My practice is down 50%.
Okay. Yeah. If you are getting this kind of visa, Steve, is there a generality of what area these people might be working in?
No, not at all. It's all pretty much, you know, the normal type of profiled applicant. It's just that the messaging that's coming out of Hong Kong is horrendous. And people that would ordinarily flock to want to participate in our fine economy are having second thoughts about it now.
All right, mate. I've got a question from one of our listeners here, if you would. It's a nice, easy one. That's the good thing. Ask him anything you like. morningbrew@rthk.hk. So Richard says to me, are you there, Steve? You're listening?
Yeah.
Right. Richard says to me, can you ask him if the rules have changed for kids born here? My son has to apply for PR when I actually thought he already was one.
Right. So the way it works is that you get provisional permanent residency between the ages of 0 and 21. Once you get to 21, you have to demonstrate to the Immigration Department that you've been ordinarily resident in Hong Kong throughout the requisite period, or certainly the 3 years prior to submitting your application to your 21st birthday, I should say. So essentially, if you have been ordinarily resident here, born here and lived here until 21, essentially the Immigration Department then finally confirm your PR. They want to ensure that the child connections to Hong Kong, and they give the 21-year window for that to be able to play through.
Right.
So yeah, so it comes onto my desk quite a lot. You get a letter as you get into sort of, you know, into towards your 21st year, and you're invited to, you know, confirm your continuing eligibility. So it's completely routine.
What about if the kid has to go away to school overseas and he's going to be gone for 2 months at a time? Those windows.
Yeah, that's not a problem. Time spent away in pursuit of your education does not break your continuity of permanent residency here. So essentially what the Immigration Department do is they look to see that the 21-year-old himself or herself has clearly been in ordinarily resident feet terra firma in Hong Kong in his or her own right.
Right.
Or that the parents have maintained connections to Hong Kong throughout all of that time.
Okay, one more thing I want to ask you about, Steve, before we put the lid on it, is any news about, we've talked about dependent visas quite a lot. We talked about same-sex couples and pipe and slippers visas and all sorts of things. Anything in those areas?
Right. Well, okay. So, as you know, some time ago, the Immigration Department finally recognised same-sex couples that are engaged in legal marriages or have registered civil partnerships overseas. Those individuals are now eligible for dependent visas, just in the same way as heterosexuals have always been.
Right.
There's still a role for the slippers and pipe visa, though. That's the prolonged visitor visa for those de facto couples who haven't recognised their relationship in any kind of legal way. And that is what I call the de facto spouse visa. And in that regard, you can get a 6-month limit of stay as a visitor, can't get an ID card, right. You're sponsored by your resident, your Hong Kong resident partner, who has to demonstrate that he or she can put a roof over the head and food on the table of the dependent. And prolonged visitor visas, the slippers and pipe visas, as we call it, they're extendable routinely every 6 months, as long as the relationship that qualifies for that visa remains in place.
So this is what we call discretionary, really, which, they're, you know, it's their discretion to be discretionary. Yeah.
100% discretionary. I think it's also worthwhile sort of making a comment about a case that came across our desk 5 years ago.
Yep.
And it was an application for a dependent visa for a sister, an elderly sister, who had certain health conditions.
Yeah.
And the family that was seeking to sponsor that visa were permanent residents in Hong Kong, and they wanted to sponsor their father to come, which you can do if you're permanent residents. But the thing is, the health condition of the sister was, you know, really sort of governing the movements of the father, because the father was taking care of the sister.
Mm-hmm.
So client came to me to ask for the possibility of a dependent visa, and I said, well, no, the Immigration Department routinely denied these things. So the best you might be able to anticipate is a prolonged visitor visa, but you're really asking the Immigration Department to push the boundaries of their discretion to sort of bring that about. Anyway, so, you know, we took on the application, told them not to get their hopes up. It didn't get approved, as we imagined. So we took it up to Daly & Co, who are the best immigration litigators in Hong Kong, and they took it on. They didn't have any joy with it for a couple of years. Then they, Daly & Co, instructed Queen's Counsel, senior counsel, I should say, that went on for about 18 months or so. A client came to see me last week and finally told me that actually about 7 or 8 months ago they did get approved, and it came completely out of the blue. So we've seen an example there of an out-of-policy decision by the Immigration Department to issue a dependent visa for a sister that normally you'd never get a looking at, but it took almost 5 years to complete that process.
That's amazingly good news, Steve. I wonder what possibly tiny detail swung it.
That's a great question. It's a great question. I honestly don't know. I mean, I retreated from the scene when I'd done my work and passed it on to colleagues, right? But yeah, I was absolutely delighted to hear that they'd come good, because they actually came to me to seek their extension or advice on how to go about maintaining the conditions for a successful extension application, which we're going to do in the early part of the next year.
Brilliant, Steve. Well, look, before we say goodbye, I think there's one fantastic takeaway from today, and that is the thing about the immigration guys are really doing it twice and checking it twice, etc. So once again, tell our listeners how much longer to expect basically applying for anything.
Yeah, for employment visas, certainly for employment visas, anticipate you're going to take a few extra weeks to get through the process. Permanent residency applicants, if your ducks are all lined up at the point of submission, worst 2 weeks, which normally is a 4 to 6 week process.
Okay.
And I'll say one thing, Will, Phil, while I've got you, and that is, you know, the way that the governments of the HKS are, whether you hate them or love them or otherwise, the way that they've responded to our problems, they've absolutely stuck to the rule of law. And in terms of the way that the Immigration Department have done their thing, they've played the rule of law card right down the line. So, you know, kudos to them.
Fair play, Steve. Lovely to talk to you. We'll do it again very, very soon, certainly shorter than 3 years. Thanks for your time, Steve Barnes. Take care.